100. What I'm doing, getting money. What we doing, getting money. What they doing, hating on us, but they never cross. Cash money, still a company. And bitch, I'm the boss.
Hello, friends, listeners, and newcomers. It's me, the Raw Dog, Eric B., and I'm here on Sunday night's main event for the Draw Straws Raw Review. I am usually joined by my puppy in crime, Randy C., but he is all shingled up. He's got the shingles, folks. So what I have done instead is I am being joined by Boris Aguilar, the man with no nicknames. Boris, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Doing good. It's WrestleMania week.
Do you not have a nickname yet? We got to work on that.
I have many nicknames. I don't know how many of them we can actually say.
We got to work on an on-air nickname for Boris. Guys, this week we are powered by Destiny Wrestling. Go to destinywrestling.com for all of their upcoming events. We're also powered by Chiquita Bananas. I don't have the soundboard, but I'll do Randy's thing. Why Minoru? Because monkeys never cramp. All right, that's great. We got the whole Randy thing out of the way. Boris, thank you so much for stepping in on short notice. How was your week, man?
It was good. It's been good. It's been busy. It's been really busy, actually. Shoot job's always been, it's been really, really busy, man. And then this weekend, long weekend, but I ended up just doing a lot of work, right? On Saturday, went to London with some of the Slam people to the Collision taping. And, you know, that's a 4-hour commute just off the top, right? Plus the show. Didn't get home until like, what, I want to say 2:30 in the morning. Then on Sunday, had a quick turnaround, recorded the main show, and then wrote a couple articles. And yeah, man, then I feel like here we are. It's Tuesday morning already. But yeah, it was pretty good. How about you?
Oh, it was pretty good, man. I mean, April 1st was yesterday. I somehow did not get April fooled by anything or anybody. I think at this point, 39 years old, I definitely know what to look out for in the social media posts as to what is real and what is fake.
Yep.
So yeah, it was a good Easter long weekend. We had went out for an Easter celebration on Thursday that was pretty enjoyable. And then besides that, of course, I had Rudy the Rooster here, everybody's favorite mascot of the show. And yeah, he actually had some chicks come to visit. You want to hear the story?
Always. I live for these type of stories.
Okay, so I kept on being told that, well, I was supposed to have a family gathering on Sunday, which unfortunately didn't work out because of scheduling and stuff like that and things coming up. But Rudy the Rooster, as everybody knows, the mascot, the unsung mascot of the Draw Straws Raw Review, he was decked out to the nines. He had his bling on, he had his fancy shirt on, and he was ready to meet some friends. Unfortunately, they didn't show up, but a bunch of chicks showed up at my door to see him. And what I mean by that is I got a package from Amazon. I opened up the box, and inside of the box was 80 miniature chicks.
Oh, wow.
So somebody very, very close to me sent me a very nice gift from Mexico of tiny chicks to hang out with Rudy. So Rudy was ready to go. I got to tell you, Boris, there was one point where I just heard a ton of squawking and honking going on upstairs. I came up and that goddamn rooster was in bed with all of those chicks, man. Those Jesus. Chicks had a rough night.
Jesus Christ, lucky son of a gun.
Lucky son of a gun. He's following right after his raw dog father's footsteps, and he's going in. He's going having in a deep. Great time, folks. Yeah, it was a funny gift for sure. I had a good Easter. You had a good Easter too, or what?
Yeah, overall, yeah, I did, man. It was very different. So my brother, he lives out west now, right? So this is the first Easter that we haven't had that big family gathering. Here in Toronto, don't really have much family, right? Outside of immediate family. So with him out west, already kind of didn't really have too much. And because it was the first one and my brother's birthday was around the same time, I sent out my mom out west to spend it with him. I think that, you know, she would want to see her grandchildren and obviously my brother, right? So,
of course,
it was literally just in terms of immediate family. My dad and my sister were here and kind of just did our own thing. I think we met up on Friday for like a Easter type of thing. We just went out to a restaurant outside of that. But yeah, I was hurting on Friday, obviously.
a type of thing. Hurting on Friday. Why would that have been happening? Yeah, Friday was a rough day, folks. Friday was definitely a rough day. It was a good Friday.
It was a good Friday indeed.
I'd say that the Thursday was even gooder. Yeah, that's not a word, but yeah, we're gonna make it a word today, that's for sure. Bester? Bestestest? Look,
if I wasn't busy on Saturday or even Friday, I honestly could have slept 3 days and woken up on Sunday.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that definitely happened. But yeah, that was Easter long weekend, folks. It was a good week. Hopefully you guys all had a good week as well. I mean, we all know why we're here. We're here to talk about Monday Night Raw. So maybe we'll get into that quickly. We'll just do a little recap of what we had last week. Last week with The Rock showing up just as a massive surprise, CM Punk being there, Cicero Stadium. I mean, sorry, in Chicago, Allstate, my apologies. And it was just a huge show. So this week, definitely what we would come to expect as we're going into WrestleMania this weekend, we would come to expect that this week would maybe be a little bit slower. So me and Boris were talking before we started recording, and it wasn't that Raw was not good last night. It was just, it was not as good as it was the week before, because the week before was so phenomenal, right, Boris? Like, the week before was almost unbeatable.
That's exactly right. If the week before, last week's episode, was a 10, 9.5, because nothing is ever perfect, right? Then this week was probably a solid 8, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd say about 7.5 to 8, something like that for sure. It was for sure good. We're in New York City.
Look,
right? Also, we're in New York City leading. Sorry, go ahead, Boris.
This is the go-home show before WrestleMania. Like, I even consider SmackDown part of the WrestleMania weekend, right? So you know that the in-ring wasn't going to be spectacular, as everyone is trying to avoid injuries like the plague.
Oh, man. Like, especially when you look at some of the matches that we had tonight, you know these guys have to stay safe. They got to work these matches easily. Just give the crowd a good match. And there was some good matches on this card. And I'd say that the best match of the card involves nobody that is included in WrestleMania weekend. And to Boris's point, they could go a little bit more all out and, you know, not have to worry about protecting themselves from an injury that's going to take them off of the biggest show of the year. Geez, just imagine being a pro wrestler and you finally get like your first WrestleMania moment and you injure yourself on Raw versus like Ivy Nile in a quick match.
Exactly. That's the thing, right? Like that's exactly it. So it's kind of expected that the in-ring isn't going to be good. And like just the story, the buildup and everything, like, there was some really good stuff. Like we were talking even on the main show, right? Like this had a real focus on the undercard, with the main event obviously kind of like ending this, starting and ending things, but they did a really good job of building that undercard up.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, here we are at Barclays Center in New York City. WrestleMania weekend, Philadelphia is coming up as fast and furious as it possibly can. And we are opening the show again this week with the final boss. Now, it can't be that much of a surprise because he was there last week, but still to see The Rock opening the show in 2024, April 1st, is just incredible for Raw, for wrestling fans, for everything. And The Rock just continues to show us his masterclass of promos and who he is. And that is the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. Now, what I'm saying is when he comes to the ring for this promo and he hears the first what chant in years, not only does he play on it perfectly, but the whole Cody crybaby, the social media posts, the little girls crying and upset that Cody was getting beaten down by The Rock. Oh my God, I love everything that this man is doing. And so does the crowd. Dude, you could tell right away, the crowd was first booing him and then chanting his name. The guy is just incredible. He is so good. And as he said, wrestling is cool again. Yep. Right? Like, wrestling is cool in 2024, Boris.
Yep. And the fact that he can, like, simply still manage to be a heel at times goes to show you how good he is. Goes to show you that the crowd is invested in going along with it. And it's so rare to find that, especially for a legend like him. I'm going to use that word legend because that's what he is. And his promos are constantly proving that. Like, you tell me anyone in wrestling, period, who can control a crowd the way that he does. Like, there's only a handful of people that might be able to.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, when he did the whole The Rock is finally come back to Brooklyn, that was incredible. Honestly, that's when we bring in the bloodline that's there. Here comes Roman Reigns. The fans are absolutely chanting yeet. They don't want any yeet in sight. There's no yeet allowed. This brings Seth Rollins actually out of the crowd. I love it. Honestly, Boris, I love it when they throw the wrestlers into the crowd, right? For whatever reason, it just makes you feel a little bit more a part of the universe. And it also seems to even the numbers a little bit, the numbers game against said bloodline in Seth Rollins. He wants The Rock tonight. Man, when he said that, I was like, if you guys do this, I swear to God, if they did that match, it would have been crazy. But Solo Sikoa is going to be the one instead in a Bloodlines rules match. What is a Bloodlines rules match, Boris? Like, for real? Let's think about crazy stipulation.
Tribal, like anything goes type of thing, like what we had Jay versus Roman at SummerSlam, was it?
A tribal. Okay. It's either that, or there's going to be like a lei hanging on top of the ring with a ladder that's made out of bamboo to get to it.
Can you imagine? You know, this is the way that story ends, or not.
I love it. I love it. It would be so good. Anyways, opening promo there again. We go two Raws in a row with an opening promo that lasts around 22, 25 minutes. Not as good as it was last week, but to hear The Rock talking about Cody crybabies, bloodying up Cody, the Mana being back in pro wrestling. I love it. It's great. So we cut quickly to Rhea Ripley, who was on the MMA hour earlier, and Becky Lynch came into the studio. Insults were being thrown. They're really starting to build this up a little bit further, and we'll see this later on tonight as well. All right, first match of the evening. Like Boris said, believe it or not, these are actually two teams who are going to be working WrestleMania, but we did see them going a little bit slower and a little bit, well, quicker, let's say, too, getting this match over as fast as possible as we see DIY and the Judgment Day. DIY and New Day take on the Judgment Day. Now, this match just lasts a quick 5 minutes. We definitely see a lot more usually from Ciampa. We definitely see a lot more usually from the Judgment Day. But this was just a quick way to really set up the matches that we have coming up at WrestleMania, the six-pack tag team match. And ultimately, Priest has to take this win here in clean house with the chokeslam and a Razor's Edge. We haven't seen the Razor's Edge in a long time, actually. He's been finishing with South of Heaven for the last 3 months. Under 5 minutes, quick and dirty match. Really, nothing that great. Quick and dirty, serviceable, it's there.
Yep. Kind of like when we go out, quick and dirty, right? Like, that's exactly... it was expected. It was fun. It was the expected result, I should say. No issue for me with this match.
No, not at all. It's exactly what it needed to be and what was going to happen. So then we go backstage again. The Rock says he has things going on tonight as Roman Reigns is off to write Paul Heyman's introduction speech for the Hall of Fame this Friday. Boris, Hall of Fame coming up this Friday is pretty intense, man. I mean, we've got some pretty great names there. Of course, Paul Heyman probably being the most deserving one who is here currently, and Bray Wyatt. Later on in the night, we're going to see a promo too that cuts to the Peacock special, which is going to be about Bray Wyatt. I don't know about you, but I am thrilled to watch that
special. I watched it this morning, dude.
Oh yeah,
it is a very good watch. Very, very good watch.
Yeah.
And whew, let me say, it's a hard watch. It's a hard watch at times. It's a very hard watch, especially seeing his brother Taylor, Bo Dallas, just reflect. You know, you never realize how close of a family the kids were, the siblings were, with Mika, yeah. Taylor, and Wyndham. It's just crazy, dude. It was a very intense watch. Watch this. Like, you need to watch this when you're mentally prepared to. Like, in that, I'm not trying to make any jokes or anything. It's a really tough watch. It really did make me tear up a little bit. I'll be 100% honest there. You know, knowing. How all of this is going to end. And then there's the ultimate Easter egg at the very end that everyone needs to watch for.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. I definitely look forward to checking that out. And I think I'm mentally prepared for it. I think so. But we'll see halfway through when I'm completely broken down and calling my psychiatrist.
Right. That's a big, right? Like, it really, if you watch this before the Hall of Fame ceremony, like, I'm really excited, interested to see what the UX Express has to say. I know that, you know, I talked about on the main show, Mike Rotunda even talked about why Bray Wyatt's not going to go in, but you still know that this is going to be very Bray Wyatt-centric.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, perfect. Yep, I like it. Likes it a lot. Anyways, Chad Gable is in now full-on training Sami Zayn in a Rocky-style montage. Sami just doesn't understand why Gable is running into the ground, but honestly, I don't like this angle, Boris. I'm going to say this right now. This whole Chad is now training Sami to beat Gunther. I wanted Chad in this match, man. I wanted Chad Gable in this match from the beginning. And when he wasn't there, I wanted them to somehow work him into a three-way. But that's not going to happen. Instead, it's like, this is Rocky 3, and we are full-on in training montage. And Gunther is Clubber Lang. I don't like it.
Yeah. And then we get a little bit of Rocky 4 where someone goes down in a little bit.
Oh, that's the best. That is the best. I like it.
Right? But think about it. Like, I kind of feel like Chad Gable should have been in the match rather than Sami Zayn. And they really could have done, like, the ultimate, like, you know, intro, the opening scene of Rocky IV, which, for the record, when you watch that as a kid for the first time, like, what is going on?
Listen, by the time that you get to Rocky IV, Rocky IV is great. I'm not going to say anything bad about any of the Rocky movies besides maybe Five. Rocky V. Rocky V is, yeah, it's really strange.
Tommy and Gunn Balboa. Might
Balboa,
be the worst.
Balboa doesn't count.
No, but even Balboa was pretty good. It was nostalgic.
Yeah, it was better than Five. Anything is better than Five. But yeah, Rocky, when it comes to Rocky movies, I think Rocky 3 and Rocky 4 are probably my two favorites, even though the Rocky 4 gets a little bit ridiculous, and then Rocky 3, you start having robots and stuff going around. Completely different than Rocky 1 when we're going around Philadelphia with steel drum fires. Hey, Adrian, I'm punch drunk. All right, we're going a little bit too off on a tangent here for Rocky. I think we both want Rocky in this match over Sami Zayn and Chad Gable.
Clearly.
All right, great. Judgment Day is ready for WrestleMania, but do not like when Legado de Fantasma come in. Damian Priest tells Dominic to get rid of them. Rhea Ripley tells Dominic to work on the communication stuff. What?
So,
okay.
I think that we're really planting the seeds of what's going to be coming. Dax messaged me, and I'm like, that was like my first thought too. And it's this, that, you know, obviously I think Judgment Day is going to have a very tough WrestleMania. Damian Priest, you know, we'll see. But I think at the end of the day, they're really setting up Dominic to kind of, you know, create the Avengers of Latino heels and have his own group with... Legado and Andrade.
Legado, himself. Andrade himself. Who else is going to be in the mix? There's got to be somebody else there, Boris. One more. Give me one more Latino heel.
I guess she's Legado. But you know what I mean. They're basically all the random heel Latinos are going to be joining up with Dominic.
The anti-LWO.
Exactly.
We love it.
That would be the white WO. I don't know.
It sounds terrible.
Jesus.
It sounds as bad as the new LWO is. Honestly, let's just be real about it right now. The old LWO, new LWO, it's a different thing.
Folks. Exactly.
It's very completely different. No mismo. All right. Next match of the night here is Sami Zayn, fresh off of his training from Chad Gable versus Big Bronson Reed. Big Bronson Reed is back, folks, again on Raw. And I love Bronson Reed, man. Bronson Reed just moves so fluidly throughout the ring. Him and Sami, they know how to put on a good match because they are two guys that really come from the indie scene. They're going to give you excitement. They're going to give you hard hitting. They're going to give you massive chops. And they're going to give you a huge sunset bomb here from Sami Zayn. For some reason, Zane tries a fireman's carry on Bronson Reed at one point. I don't know what the hell he was thinking with that. Big man to be trying.
He's taking Chad's, you know, all of Chad's advice and saying, you can do this on someone bigger. I think Bronson was a perfect opponent for the setup, I think.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. Now, talking about Chad Gable, cue Chad Gable to come in. He's being dragged out by Gunther. So his poor trainer is getting destroyed. Mickey is getting destroyed exactly. by Gunther. So he has to run up and save him, which leads to the DQ finish as Gunther beats down Sammy 12 minutes here into the match. Bronson Reed picks up another win on Raw. Again, not clean, but he's a heel, folks. So he is supposed to win this way. Serviceable match again. Lasted a little bit longer than the last ones, but still not, like you said, Boris, everybody is kind of going at second gear right now. They don't want to injure themselves before WrestleMania. And I'm sure Bronson was also being a little bit safe with Sammy as well, knowing that he has his big spot coming up.
Can you imagine? Like, that's the thing. Like, it would be, oh man, I would feel horrible, like, injuring anyone that had a major match at WrestleMania. But yeah, no, this match was good. I think this match was really well done in the grand scheme of stuff. And really, this was the first real interaction between Zayn and Gunther. So,
oh man, this is so, I'm just looking at my notes here and I forgot about this part entirely. But so after the match, Gunther lays in some more of his heavy chops, steps on the chest of Sami Zayn. I still think that Sammy is probably going to take the IC title at WrestleMania. And I believe that Alpha Academy is going to be involved with stopping Imperium from ruining the match. That's probably good. What is going to happen. And that's how you're going to get guys like Otis and maybe even Akira Tozawa on the show. Okay. But yeah, after that, we're backstage. And we are backstage in New York City with Jey Uso. And who the hell does he run into? But little fucking Wayne.
Yep. That happened.
Little Wayne is there hanging out, talking about WrestleMania, and Jey Uso invites him to WrestleMania. Little Wayne says yes. So, okay, Boris, I guess that our musical performance for WrestleMania this year is Little Wayne.
Well,
wow.
At the very least, we have a built-in bathroom break, right?
Little Wayne is going to be there at WrestleMania. I wonder what the hell he's going to be performing. Honestly, like, seriously, what songs are we going to be performing here? Man, I don't know. Let's just say, like, Stunning Like My Daddy at WrestleMania. I'd be done with that.
Oh, my God.
He brings out Juvenile. Let's go, Boris. Come on. Like, say, I said, less. As Jey Uso says, say less. Break.
I hate that saying so fucking much. It's not even funny. Say less. Oh, anytime someone says say less, just like the rage literally builds up in me.
Yeah, yeah. There's two things that I can't stand, actually. It's say less, and then the second one is bet. If somebody says bet to me instead of just like yeah or cool or whatever, I'm like, bet on what? Seriously, tell me what the parlay is. I need to know because I've lost everything this week.
Especially last night's Final Four games. But yeah.
Oh, fucking anyone? Caitlin Clark, man. That's all I can say.
I was gonna ask you about
that. Dude, yeah, we didn't talk about it at the start. We should have talked about that. Honestly, last night, I know we're kind of going on sidetrack here, but last night was probably one of the most historical nights in women's basketball of all women's time,
sports.
Period.
Just some women's sports.
Yeah, women's sports. Seriously, most watched female basketball game, probably most watched, I don't know, college basketball game of the week, in my opinion. So it was incredible. All right. Yeah. Speaking about female, here we are. Let's give it up to the girls here on WWE Raw. It's Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae on their win streak versus Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupree. We all know where this is going, folks. We know exactly where this is going right now.
Sorry, your mic was all weird, but we're good. I'm not going to edit this out anyways.
Let me just do it over again. Okay, fine. All right. Well, yeah, I heard a click in my ear too there for one quick second, but we're good. But Indy Hartwell, Candice LeRae versus Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupree. Indy and Candice are on their win streak as we see Candice move more and more towards being a heelstress. Is that what you would want to call a female heel? a heel stress?
Oh, I'm stealing it and taking credit for it. I like it.
Oh, man. Yeah, so Maxxine Dupri continues to look a little bit green in the ring, but she is getting time on Monday Night Raw, folks. She is getting time on Monday Night Raw. Ultimately, we all know where this is going there. Hartwell doesn't like that Maxxine Dupri dropkicks the villains into each other and steals the pin at 3 minutes and 35 seconds into it. Believe it or not, Candice LeRae didn't get the pin here. Candice has gotten the pin the last 3 weeks. Again, this match, this angle that we're working with, sorry, not this match, but this angle that we're working on with Candice LeRae, it's probably the best version of Candice LeRae that we can get. I just don't feel like there's any investment from the fan base on this yet, and I don't really see anybody truly caring about the female tag division in Monday Night Raw. I think that the female tag division in SmackDown is fodder, and it just shows all the time.
Yeah, that's the issue in general with the female division, right? Like, you have the top, you have the top stars, you have one or two major programs, then everything else is kind of just like mixed in, and you don't really get that fan investment. I'm not saying it's not good, but you don't get the fan investment for some reason.
Yep, no, exactly. Well, you know, they got on TV, folks, and like me and Randy like the joke, Candice LeRae got on TV. Hold on.
Yeah, whoa, you're telling me four random women got on TV even though The Rock was on the show?
Yeah, I know, right? Believe it or not, somehow Indy Hartwell, Candice LeRae, Ivy Nile, and Maxxine Dupri are somehow on the show, folks. The Rock didn't steal their time. He didn't steal it. He just made
stole Chelsea
tune
Green's
in.
Time.
Chelsea Green steals her own time. Chelsea Green doesn't care. Like, seriously, dude, we talk about this all the time too. Like, Bo Dallas is still on the payroll, folks.
Yeah,
he hasn't been on TV in a very long time, but guess what he's doing? Hanging out with his wonderful wife and getting paid to be
not
a WWE
life.
Superstar.
Not the worst life, right?
No. Pretty damn good. Pretty damn good.
And this is why this is why some very hardcore, old school wrestling fans might not think guaranteed contracts are the best thing.
I agree. No, I completely agree. Especially when you look at like contract releases and that news, like AEW contract releases recently. I was like, are these half of these guys were even on contract? Oh, not even half. Right? 90% of them were even contracted.
That out of the AEW releases was Dasha. You know, I thought personally, I think she's better than Bobby Cruz. I love Bobby Cruz,
yep.
But I think Dasha was better. I think, you know, just an updated face to ROH would have been better, but whatever. Fine. And the boys, right? They were in an active storyline right now in ROH. Outside of that, everyone was kind of just on the peripherals. Even Stu Grayson, finished his thing within ROH. So
he was gone. Like, I thought he was gone already, to be honest with you. Like, he already wanted to leave and was already all over the indie scene. So it doesn't really matter.
Yep. Anyways.
All right. Backstage, Jey Uso tells Seth Rollins, I got your back, Uso. I got your back in the main event in case anything goes on.
Honestly, all I think he had a drink with Lil Wayne because he was just like way too amped for this.
He was a little bit too leaned up. Him and him were just drinking a little bit too much lean in the back. You know, a little cough syrup, a little mixture.
What is that? Sizzle? What's that called?
Sipping on some scissor. Oh, man, we're going way back, folks. Lil Wayne is doing Stun With My Daddy. Juvenile is showing up to WrestleMania, and we're sipping on some scissor. Man, this is a funky show, Boris. This is a funky show. Hopefully Randy likes it.
I know, right?
All right, Drew McIntyre is at a funeral home, and I absolutely love this vignette. He uses CM Punk's song lyrics to launch into a speech about how he's going to close the casket on Seth Rollins' world title reign. I like this a lot, actually.
I love this. This is fantastic. But somehow, Seth Rollins is playing third fiddle, you know, on every possible story that he's involved in right now.
Yep.
That's the one thing.
No, I completely agree. His title is okay. I don't want to say his title reign hasn't meant anything, but unfortunately, his title is the de facto, you know, consolation prize.
Exactly.
Right. And to the point where we originally felt like that belt was maybe being created for Cody, right? When it was first being made, it's been with Seth since it's been there. And during that time, he's defended it. He's been a great champion. He's definitely brought the championship, you know, back to TV as Roman has been off of TV. But as soon as Cody made it clear that he didn't want to take on Seth and he wanted to take on Roman because that's the real title, we all have to look at that as wrestling fans too and be like, okay, he's 100% right. That other title doesn't really mean much. It definitely doesn't mean as much as Rhea Ripley has made hers mean.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
And that's what it is, right? It's not even about the championship strap. It's about the champion that carries it.
The unfortunate part is that, you know, Seth has been injured for most of this year.
Exactly. Yeah, he has. And he's still been there. He's still working, man, with that back, even though Shinsuke has tried to kick out his back and it hasn't worked. Nothing worked for Shinsuke this year.
I love that. Nothing.
All right. First match of the night that has no WrestleMania people. Actually, this is the second one. My apologies. Ivar versus Ricochet. And I got to say, Boris, I really like this match. I really liked it. They were flying all over the place. I mentioned to you this week that I feel that Ivar is one of the unsung heroes of Monday Night Raw. Yep. He puts on probably one of the best performances every week, especially like, listen, completely look away from the fact that he's the size that he is. Just look how agile this guy is and how good he makes everybody look in the ring. He bumps like a mother, and I love it. It's just incredible.
100%
agree,
man.
Also, the resurgence of Ricochet, too, that we've been seeing recently, I'm not against it at all. And we see some great Ricochet stuff being done in this match, including him not even finishing off with the stupid recoil, which I can't stand. Listen, if you have a guy that's this athletic and can fly, let him fly. Ricochet finishes the match with a 630 and the pin. I love it. Afterwards, Pat McAfee shows it on the telestrator and his call when he's like, did he under-rotate? Did he over-rotate? No, he's still spinning. Boom, he hit that 630, and we even got a callback from McAfee for Prince Puma. I love this match. 10 minutes. It was a good watch. It was the best match that we got tonight, in my opinion.
Agreed. This was really good. You're 100% right. Everything you said about Ivar and this new resurgence of Ricochet. Like, I honestly do think that they have something planned for him post-WrestleMania. The crowd is 100% behind him. He's having great matches on Raw week in and week out. And his good buddy Will Ospreay is making noise in AEW. So I think that we're going to see something from Ricochet after WrestleMania.
I just think that if he talks less and performs more, then we're good to go with Ricochet. Honestly, we know that he can't really cut a good promo. He's just not too believable with that. But as far as his in-ring work goes, there's nobody that's better, right? It kind of goes to that whole comparison that you just even threw out with Will Ospreay. Can he cut a promo like The Rock? No, he cannot, right? But can The Rock have a match like Will Ospreay in this, like in 2024? No, he cannot. So it all adds up. And Prince Puma, dude, I don't know if you remember Lucha Underground or you were a big Lucha Underground fan, but Prince Puma was definitely the best. And the reason why is he never spoke.
Exactly. That's exactly. I was going to make a really bad, tasteless joke, but let's just move on. That's how I like them, when they don't talk. But let's just move on.
We like tasteless jokes around here on the Draw Straws Raw Review. That's what people come for.
Yeah, they do.
Okay. Yeah, well, Damian Priest is backstage watching, and he's like, how has Ricochet not been dealt with yet? Like you said, they're definitely working themselves into that angle where Ricochet probably has something going on post-WrestleMania, and especially with Damian Priest throwing that out there, currently holding the briefcase, and who knows what's going to happen at the end of the Drew and Seth match with said briefcase. That maybe could be interesting. Possibly. Yeah. Possibly there. Oh, man, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is coming up on SmackDown, as Father Greg called it. It's just a group of jobbers, a match full of jobbers all in there. This is a way for them to get this in there, not doing it at WrestleMania as well. Boris, I am completely a fan of the fact that they are not bringing this match to WrestleMania and they are doing it in the SmackDown before.
Look, I like the fact that it's a tradition now. I like the fact that WrestleMania doesn't have kickoff matches, right? Because there's something to be said about those opening pops in at WrestleMania, right? So why do you want to waste it on kind of filler stuff? That's what SmackDown is for, especially with SmackDown on Friday. You might as well put something WrestleMania branded on SmackDown. Because even Friday, man, like, let's be honest, this Friday show is going to be a snoozer in terms of wrestling.
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be, right? If we saw that tonight, too. This is a three-hour show. SmackDown, at least you guys are just getting 2 hours of snoozery. But yeah, this we'll talk about it a little bit more. But most of this Raw was like, snore. All right, let's go forward. Snore. Let's just get to WrestleMania. Snore.
And again, no, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. They told good stories. And I think we're going to talk about some good storytelling coming up now.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's Becky Lynch, and Rhea Ripley comes out and they wants to has fight, but Adam Pearce is not going to let it happen. The de facto security guards, aka local talent, are all getting in the way, and they fail miserably of getting in the way of two women who are half the size of one of them. But I absolutely love it. I love how they're just
Pat McAfee.
Listen, they're going crazy. This.
When he did the recap.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it was so good. The recap, Becky flying, just all of, honestly, the first time that he did the Telestrator stuff in the recap, it was ridiculous and it seemed stupid. It seemed out of place, right?
You know what?
But now that he's been doing it, he's been playing into how ridiculous it is and making it almost a big joke. And I love it.
Well, that's the thing. It's almost like breaking the fourth wall because he says stuff that we're saying at home. Like, for example, Adam Pearce, when Rhea Ripley threw him the belt, I've never seen a belt. What is this thing, right? Like, I love it.
Yeah, it was great. No, it really was great. And it ended with a fracas and Becky diving off the top ropes. Just a nice beat down here. The match itself has definitely had more of a buildup than the SmackDown side of things, in my opinion, the whole Bayley versus Damage Control thing. I don't know. I feel like this one has a little bit more oomph to it, and I think it's because of the players involved. Let's just be real. Honestly, it's Rhea Ripley. It's Becky Lynch. It's WrestleMania. It's going to be a good time.
Exactly.
Damage Control is here, and they are bragging about their bigness. Okay, that makes sense.
It's bigger in Japan, right? Big in Japan? They're big in Japan?
Big in Japan. Oh my God, Boris. We're having all of these ridiculous throwbacks today. Clash of the Castle has been announced for June 15. The location is going to be announced today, actually.
It's actually already been announced.
What is it? Where?
Glasgow.
I wonder if Sheamus is going to be on the card.
Right? One would hope. One would think. Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre. Book it right now.
Ooh, I like it. Give me more of that. Seriously, just a beatdown fest. It's a WrestleMania rematch without Gunther. I am completely into it. I like it.
And another...
Right, Adam Pearce has to split up.
Sorry,
go ahead.
The amount of international PLEs we're getting this year is crazy. I love it.
Yeah, they got that cash, man. They got that TKO money, so they're going to spread it out worldwide. Also, a lot of people have been mentioning, you know, this is the first WrestleMania that's truly going to be influenced entirely by TKO's product. Last WrestleMania before everything moves to Netflix. What type of changes are we going to see between now and then? Honestly, the only type of changes that I could potentially see are all going to be great. When you look at the amount of funding that's coming in and production value that's coming in, how could it be any better than it, you know, already is?
I think it can only be better. Comment on Sunday's show about like how they're testing out a lot of things, and you can see that TKO and Netflix influence, especially on the production side, and this next match, this six-woman match that's coming up. There was this angle that I absolutely loved, because for about 2 to 3 minutes straight, they just had that one tracking camera through the ropes, no weird camera cuts, and that looked awesome.
Yeah, like the production value has just really been incredible. We've already started to see that influence there from Netflix. And also, we've for a while now, we've started to see the advert influence as well, right? Like, we're talking about the matches that have little Cinnamon Toast Crunch guys running around at ringside. We're seeing that for a while now because people were wondering, how are we going to throw in ads, right? Because right now we have commercial revenue, all of that. The ads are going to be there, folks. We're going to see them. They're just not going to be as advert.
I think what we're going to be seeing on Netflix, right, is similar to how PLEs are on Peacock, if you get the ad version of Peacock, right? Where not there might not be as many segments, but you're still going to get a slew of ads at once. I think that's what's going to end up happening with Netflix. But, you know, I think the real question is how Netflix justifies the price of their ad. Maybe there's two tiers. Maybe the ad-free tier, you know, they show something like a promo or something similar to Peacock, right? Like, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of differentiate and do all that. But yeah, we'll see.
I feel like we're going to see like Pepsi glasses on the table and stuff like that.
Kind of like, yeah, AEW does that right now with the Woo Energy. It looks very strange if you're live, but it looks a lot better on TV. I'm very curious, interested, nervous to see that ring advertisement this weekend. The Prime.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a good call, actually. We'll see how much of that ring is slaughtered by adverts.
And I'm also very curious to see, are they allowed to bleed on it? By axe, like, you know, what are the rules around that, right? If anyone's going to bleed on it, it better be Logan Paul. I want to see Logan Paul being the first person to bleed on his Prime ad.
Well, listen, if anybody is a good idea of not what to do as far as adverts go on your ring and on your canvas goes, it's TNA Wrestling, folks. TNA Wrestling always has some, like, de facto movie, five other things all over it, some law firm. Yeah, that's not exactly the way that you want to go here. But WrestleMania, like you said, you're definitely going to see that Prime advert. I wonder what else we're going to get there. TKO? Maybe a TKO? Maybe
I wouldn't be surprised if we get something UFC related, something that they're invested in. But look, I'm kind of nervous if we see anything Saudi Arabia related.
Oh, geez.
I wouldn't be surprised if we do. Come to Saudi.
Yeah, you're right.
We love humans. We won't treat you bad.
The Palms Resort in Saudi Arabia. Visit Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Journalist Haven. Boris and Eric, we got a hotel ready for you.
I'd go.
All right. Yeah, I'm down. You'd invite me? Yeah, I'm going. All right, guys. Okay. Talking about, like you said, the way this match was filmed was just absolutely great. The first, those minutes of leading in through the ropes, that shot was incredible. It's Damage Control versus Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, and Tegan Nox. Yeah, folks, Tegan Nox is still here. She didn't have to fight with Natty, but she is still here.
I really wish.
Luckily, Natty isn't.
Tegan Nox, yeah, she's on NXT this week. I wish that they had built up a little more and talked just a little more at the fact of Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai's past. They didn't really mention anything. I don't recall it.
At all. No, at all. They didn't mention it at all, and there really wasn't even like a moment of stare down or any callback to the past or history here. Again, this is a pretty quick match that we see going on between these ladies. Everything breaks down. Nox misses her running reverse cannonball, setting up an assisted insane elbow to give Sane the pin at 8:57 into the match. Dude, I love that insane elbow. I've told Randy, I'm like, I think it's one of the top five elbow drops ever. It's just the way that she hits it is insane.
Yes.
Hey,
well played. Get it? I think honestly, 100%, I think it is the second best elbow drop I've seen ever. Period.
Just yeah,
the way
great.
That it looks.
It's great.
The way that it looked.
I like it better than Shawn Michaels' elbow drop, that's for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And it can't be good for her body the way that she falls. Like, her entire body just takes the entire brunt of that.
Yeah, it's definitely a strong style elbow drop, as strong style as you can possibly get there. But again, all of the matches that we're seeing tonight are kind of in that mid category, you know, 6 out of 10 or whatever you want to call it. We are setting up for WrestleMania, and everything has to be done properly. Everything has to be done safely, folks. Let's take it easy. We actually get a huge rundown for WrestleMania. Boris has already gone ahead on the SNME network and shared the entire card, which has now been announced for WrestleMania. A hell of a card for both nights. It's going to be a battle of attrition to get through this.
It will be.
But it's actually not that bad that we have like a break in between, you know, for a few hours. But man, if you were there live at WrestleMania for those two nights, because can you do just one night or do you have to do both?
You can do just one night, yeah. But kind of like Money in the Bank, right? Where they're really making you wait a long time to buy the single tickets.
Yeah, yeah. That's wild what's going on. The whole package. They haven't released it yet, right?
And what's really weird is that if you buy those package deals, you don't even like be so in the past, you've always gotten like three nights, three tickets, two nights, two tickets. What they're doing to avoid people splitting up the pay-per-view ticket and reselling that is you get one ticket for all three nights.
Oh, wow. Okay. Not bad at all. Okay, Seth Rollins is in the back here. He says he took this match with Solo Sikoa because he is going pedal to the metal. And here comes Drew McIntyre. Seth tells him, I'm not dead yet. And Drew says, yet.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre just said he's going to kill Seth Rollins on live TV, and not one person called the police.
Yeah, exactly. So we think. Trust me.
Honestly, yeah, we never know.
The comments definitely I called. See coming from Slam Wrestling's comment section of articles and stuff. Some people really, really aren't in on the fact that all of this is, scripted. Like last week, especially, the amount of people that like they didn't allow comments like just saying how The Rock's a piece of shit, blah, blah, blah. They like there was these old people like, my granddaughter watches all of The Rock's movies. I will never allow her to watch another of that piece of shit's movies again. How dare he? He has no family. Dude, it's insane.
So you're telling me when your granddaughter comes over and she wants to watch Tooth Fairy for the millionth time, you're going to deny her that, right? Bullshit. Put on Tooth Fairy. Put on Journey. Put on Skyscraper if you're feeling a little bit randy later. I don't know what to tell you. But that is freaking hilarious. Honestly, wrestling fans, we still have that feeling in our head, a lot of us. It's still real to us, damn it. And we just can't get over it. Bloodline rules are engaged here in the next match, and that is Seth Rollins versus Solo freaking Sikoa. It is a non-title match and anything goes. That means we're going to get some tables. That means we're going to get some fun interjections here in the match, including Jay and Jimmy Uso. Some great spots here in the match. Chairs are being thrown out there. I always like when they close Raw with this style of match. It just gives you a little bit more that you can work with and gives people a little bit more excitement with fewer risky spots, I think you can say, right? Like a table break spot, as awesome as it sounds, as great as the visual is, it's not as dangerous as some of the normal spots are in wrestling. For example, you just land weirdly taking a suplex on your shoulder and there you go. There's WrestleMania done in a heartbeat. But yeah, like we said, the Bloodline rules are engaged. So this means that we can get anything going on here. Jimmy is there. Jey Uso comes out to brawl as well. We got a whole lot of yeet versus no yeet going on, setting up that match for WrestleMania, which I am now a lot more excited for. Brother versus brother. The final boss comes in and starts just beating the living hell out of Jey. And when he is there, he gets to the ring. He's staring down Seth Rollins. I'm like, hit him. But everybody wants their precious Cody, who dispatches The Rock temporarily, very temporarily. The Rock is about to be put through a table. He's about to be crossroads through a table. I knew there's no way in hell that's going to happen. The Rock is going to let that happen on TV. I don't think that's going to work for him, pal. And if it is, it's going to work at WrestleMania.
Exactly.
Which brought out Roman Reigns, right? Roman just comes in just like a ton of, like a brick shit house, man. He's just throwing people around left, right, and center. He's in the ring. The Rock is tossing one by one. Seth and Cody, spear, Superman punch. we get a little bit of a callback to AEW, in my opinion, right? When the lashes start happening and Cody is over the second rope, no shirt on, and The Rock is lashing the hell out of him with the weight belt, which is hiding underneath his $5,000 vest the entire time. I love this scene. Honestly, I love the way that they ended it. I think the Bloodline has to look strong and on top going into WrestleMania. That is the only way that this storyline of Cody finishing the story ends in a proper fashion.
Cody needs to come from adversity, right? We talked about this months ago about CM Punk, where that's kind of the CM Punk MO. But that's finishing your story, that's the way it has to happen. It looks like all else... Everything is done and done grim, like, and nothing is going to work for Cody. And somehow he's able to come back and finish his story. Because, look, it's typically in wrestling, right? If you get that final TV beatdown, you're going to take the L on the pay-per-view. But that's not the case, right? It, more than likely, Rock and Reigns are going to win night one to really stack the odds against Cody. And the fact that they got the final beatdown on TV, because this to me, this is the go-home show before WrestleMania. You know, I don't think they're going to really be doing much on SmackDown. Yeah, I think that this was a great way, again, you know, getting that Rocky storyline.
The Rocky storyline. This is definitely Rocky 2 at this point, though, for Cody, in my opinion, right? He hasn't made it to Rocky 3 or Rocky 4 at this point. It's definitely Rocky 2. He's going up against Apollo Creed as well. Rest in peace, Carl Weathers. We miss you, you son of a bitch. Boris, honestly, like we were talking about, this was a serviceable Raw. It's leading us all the way to WrestleMania. A solid 7.5 out of 10 in comparison to last week's 9.5 to 9.7.
Agreed 100%. This is a more than good go-home show, in my opinion. There was nothing horrible. It even sets up a few things post-WrestleMania. You had Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell stuff. You have what's going to happen with Ricochet. You know, there's a few things in there, you know, a few seeds that they planted. Dominic, Andrade, and the other Latinos. Kind of feels like the starting of a TV show. You got Dominic, Andrade, and the others.
And the other Latinos. You gotta love it. Come on, that's hilarious, man. That is hilarious.
Yep.
All right, well, yeah, guys, that is the show for this week. Randy is not here, so we can't have In This Corner this week. We're gonna have it next week, folks. Don't worry, Randy will be back. Send him your well wishes, especially Sean Burkhead. We know that you love Randy so much. And thank you so much for listening to the show. Until the next time, please take care of yourselves and each other and continue to live your lives impactfully.